title of my message today is, I Believe in You. And I'm going to read the scripture passage that we will be looking at in a little deeper way. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15, and I'm going to be reading this morning from the NIV version. Romans 1, 8 through 15. This is the Apostle Paul talking to those in Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Here's the setting. It's the stage of a theater. There's a dancer on stage auditioning for a lead part when unfortunately she stumbles and falls. At that moment, she feels like she can't make it, that she's a failure, that she will never succeed. But at that moment, a close friend enters stage left and challenges her, leading up to him, saying to her, I believe in you. With renewed confidence, she tries again, and this time she succeeds. What a beautiful lesson of encouragement. Since her supporting friend was also a dancer, therefore he understood what she was facing. I'm sure many of us here this morning have our own stories of being encouraged at just the right time in your life. It may be, for instance, that phone call that said, I just couldn't get you off my mind, and I thought I'd give you a call. Or perhaps it was the card that showed up in the mail when you thought no one knew or no one cared about your situation. Perhaps it was the surprise invitation to coffee at a friend's house, or the word from the doctor that told you that there was nothing to worry about because things would be okay. Well, this morning, let's think about this topic of encouragement from perhaps a different perspective. Let's think about what are your experiences of being an encourager instead of the one being encouraged. Since we all need to be encouraged, don't we also have an obligation to be encouragers? Does the Bible have anything to say on this topic? I think so, both directly and in an implied way. I also have a sense that it is much more than just telling someone, hey, you did a good job, which I think has its value, but the lesson of the deepest significance from our Bible reading today is that we have a responsibility to hold on to our faith and relationship with God no matter what happens to us in life. We must encourage one another to never quit, to never give up on our Christian walk. On October 29th, 1941, during the early dark days of World War II, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill visited his former elementary school to speak to the students. He delivered this inspirational 18-word speech, and it goes like this. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Never give up, never give up, never give up. And with that, he sat down. Simple, straightforward. But isn't it the same thing true in our Christian walk? We must never give up. We must encourage those we come in contact with in our daily lives to never give up. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's clear, isn't it, that the whole family of God is responsible to encourage one another. Well, as we take a closer look at our scripture passage found in Romans chapter 1, one of the first lessons we see is that encouragement begins with appreciation. In verses 8 through 10, we see the Apostle Paul longing to visit Rome. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way will be open for me to come to you." Can you see the love and the passion? It just sort of resonates in this passage of scripture that Paul feels for the people that he is speaking of that he wants to see. This doesn't mean that there were no challenges or disputes with that group of people. In fact, if you just go to the next chapter, chapter 2, one reads of Paul's strong words about the behavior of a man and his rebuke that would lead one to think that from chapter 1 to chapter 2 that Paul had completely changed his mind about how he felt about these people. No, no, that's not the case. It was because of his deep love for them that he would not go easy on them. Before his conversion and his awakening to God's plan for their life, for his life, Paul, as we all know, was a persecutor of the church. He was blind to the hope of life through Christ Jesus. When Paul was delivered from that destructive path, he worked hard to keep those he led in the path of truth and godly living. Paul walked where they were headed. Paul fully understood the innocent stupidity of ignorance and believing something to be true that was not. He knew too well the dangers and condemnation of blindness to truth that can lead one to exploits and convictions that feel so absolutely right and yet can be so absolutely wrong. Paul's encouragement was born out of his appreciation for who they were, and they were God's people, and that's why he wanted to see them. Well, if we're to be encouragers today, we have to learn to see the good in people. We need to learn to look for the best first, to believe the finest in someone until that person does give us evidence to think something differently. If we can't appreciate the redemptive qualities in people, we can't be effective in this work that we're called to of being encouragers. Well, secondly, encouragement is inspired by empathy. If you look up in the dictionary, the definition of the word empathy It is defined as, I feel with you. Your experience becomes mine. In verse 11, we read, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Before Paul became a Christian, he had nothing to do with these people. Once he became a Christian, things changed because Paul changed. People who sponsored and backed his persecution campaigns now came to hate him and to try to have Paul killed. As we all know from reading the many accounts of Paul and his missionary efforts, he faced multiple near-death experiences of being beaten, stoned, whipped, and oftentimes left for dead. He was now facing what other Christians had been going through. In spite of all this, Paul extended hope to them. He wanted to encourage them so that they would keep on going. He wanted to inspire them to beat the odds just as he had. Well, let's face it. As human beings, we all face pressures and challenges of an imperfect world. We have all had difficult times in our lives, troubles, disappointments, and heartaches. These many life experiences are the common thread that can inspire and motivate us to actually encourage others. Moreover, our relationship with Jesus Christ gives us hope that He is enough for whatever comes our way. Our church, right here, should also be a supportive community of love and encouragement. The well-respected pastor Chuck Swindoll once said, "The family of God is not a place for verbal put-downs, sarcastic jabs, critical comments, and harsh judgment. We get enough of that from the world. This is a place where we need to assemble for the purpose of being encouraged, a place where we are free to be ourselves." Well, finally, we need to recognize that encouragement is really a two-way street. There is room in our thinking for having a healthy opinion of ourselves. I think that's good. By this, I mean that as much as we personally desire and aim to give encouragement to others, we also need to look to those individuals who will build us up and give us what we need to be encouragers. Friends, it's been said that we can only give out of our own abundance. We minister out of our hearts what's inside of us already, that we give from where we are today. If someone is empty of purpose and tired of fighting the fight in their life, that person simply can't inspire hope and encouragement in another person. It is their time to be inspired and encouraged by others. I think this is what Paul was really saying in verse 12. He says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by others' faith. William Barclay, theologian and author, teaches us that Paul was as willing to receive as he was to give. He notes that Paul was the greatest thinker the early church ever produced, and yet, when he thought of people to whom he longed to preach, he thought of himself not only as giving to them, but receiving from them. It takes humility to teach, and it takes humility to learn. If we are to be encouragers, if we are to enter into the experiences of one another, we must humble ourselves and admit that we need to receive encouragement from what other people can give us. We must be willing to accept the gift of encouragement from others who are really eager to give it to us. As I said earlier, the title of today's message is I Believe in You. I close my message with the lyrics from a well-known popular song called I Believe. Listen carefully to these words and make this the prayer of your life today. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you'd like, just to close your eyes and let these words that I'm going to read resonate within you. It's from the song, I Believe. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. And I believe that somewhere on the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. Yes, I believe, oh, I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe, oh, I believe. Well, friends, I believe that encouragement is not an optional exercise for the Christian. It's a biblical command. I believe that encouragement begins with appreciating the good in another person and desiring to build upon that knowledge. I believe your experiences are a gift from God that allow you to encourage another who walks the road you walk, to allow you to empathize with their experiences. And finally, I believe we all need encouragement, which calls us to humility, not pride, if we are to receive that gift from one another. Friends, let's never give up the Christian walk. Amen.